So over the past 3 weeks, we've kicked off our study on the 7 days till Jesus' return. So the scenario, just to recap, that we originally set up was Jesus comes and sits down beside you in your living room, on the couch, in your lazy boy. And as he looks up, absolutely. So Jesus looks at you and says, I'm coming back in 7 days. Bye. And leaves. So as we started this out and kicked it off, there's a sheet of paper here if you haven't got one already. And I asked you to put in order for the 7 day scenario what you would be doing each of those days. You can put down multiple things or one thing, however you do it. We're going to look at one thing per day. And the ask was that you fill that out. And then at the end of this, we're going to do a recap. And I want you to, after the lessons that I put forth, and we'll have a discussion and we'll talk about these things that you wrote down and the things that I went over here. So day three. The sand is slipping away through the hourglass like water through a funnel. Swiftly, silently, somewhere above our heads, angels are marshaling the forces. The trumpeter is turning his instrument and pursing his lips, and the choir is waiting to burst into doxology. There's a buzz in heaven that hasn't been heard for 2,000 years. Jesus is 120 hours away from returning. Meanwhile, here on earth, time is of the essence. No moments to waste now, mindless entertainment. We've got to set our affairs in order. We're getting ourselves ready for the rapture day by day. And high on today's agenda is getting right with someone we have hurt in the past or who has hurt us. We've got one day to mend those relations. We need every moment that we have. Few of us get through life without some form of confrontation, where it would be with a coworker, a spouse, a child, a family member, a neighbor. You can pick and choose. I would dare say that each one of us in here, if we're not in a current situation where we have that, we've been in one or we will be in one before long. And that's the honesty of it. Whether it's one of those I mentioned or whether it's somebody you don't even know. You know, you can have something like, you know, a beef with somebody you don't even know, right? And as we go through and we talk today, we're going to talk about forgiveness. And as Jesus in this scripture we're looking at today reaches in his bag and he pulls out forgiveness, it's one thing that we as Christians tend to avoid. We do. Let's be honest. We tend to avoid that. It's sometimes uncomfortable. It's sometimes awkward. And it's nerve wracking. I mean, you try to do it and you're lost for words. You can't get the words out that you want to get out. And we're going to get through this. And as we go through it, I want to forewarn you as we talk through the first part of this, and I'll cover this at the end of the class. This is almost going to look like a works-based action when we first talk about it. And I'd like to hear your comments as we go through this. We all know salvation is not a works-based, so we're not going to go there. And when we talk about forgiveness, we're going to touch on salvation, but it's only parts of it, right? So let me tell you a quick story. David Jeremiah talked about this lady that came up to him after a sermon he preached. He said he was standing at the door, much like Joe does, and greeting everybody as there was one out. So this lady comes up and she sticks this book out to him. She says, "Here, read this." Hands it to him, shakes his hand, walks off. So he laid the book down, didn't even look at it. So he after the service was over and everybody went home, said he was cleaning up, going down his office. He looked at the book, and the name of the book was The Sunflowers. He thought, "Give me a break. I got so much stuff I'm trying to read. I'm going to read a book on sunflowers. So I just pitched it up, you know, on my desk. And he says, every time I turned around, he said, there was that stinking book. And said, I kept putting it away and kept putting it away. And I thought, okay, fine. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to read this book about sunflowers. So the book was written by a Jewish man several years ago. And the story starts out that he has been captured as a prisoner of war. He's in Poland. And he is at a stalag. And they convert the stalag into a part of it, into an infirmary to treat the wounded German soldiers. So he's given the detail that day to go clean in this hospital area. So he goes walking up and said he talks with somebody and said, all of a sudden he hears this person holler. Said, hey, come here. And it was a young Russian soldier and said he was bandaged up and said, the doctor looked at him and he says, not going to make it. Said he's in bad shape. So he walked over to the young man and said, the young man was sitting there and he told the story. And he said, I'm looking for forgiveness from a Jewish person. And he says, the forgiveness I'm looking for is some of the atrocious things that I've done in this war. And he says, the number one thing was, he said, and this is a true story. He said, the group that I was in gathered all these people up and we put gas up under the floors and we shoved these people in. So there were so many Jews in this house that they couldn't move. And he says, we got all around the house and tossed grenades in there. And it blew up. And he says, we were instructed that every time somebody jumped out of windows to shoot them as soon as they hit the ground. And he says, I'm sitting there and this guy jumps out, this young son in his arms with his hand over the kid's eyes. And he said, I shot both of them. And he said, I need forgiveness and I want you to forgive me. And the guy said, I stood up, I put my hands in my pockets and I walked away. And he said, that's haunted me my entire life. And the book Sunflower is where he posted this or put this in print. And it was reactions to that and what people said. And this is what the book was about. And at the end of it, the guy said, you know, he says, I've regretted it my entire life. And he says, I let the young man die, not getting the forgiveness he was searching for. So with that story, you know, I want us to look at forgiveness today in a way that is maybe a little bit different than what you think. And I'm going to read some scripture here that we all know. Bear with me just a second. Sorry. My new computer and I are not getting along the greatest. I tell you, this computer and I, well, I have struggled with this ever since I bought it. All right, here we go. So we're looking today at Matthew 6. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew 6. And we're going to read from Matthew 6 first, and then I got several selected scriptures that I want to read from. And I want to focus on one verse in this. And if you're not already there, you'll find out when you get there. This is the Lord's Prayer. All right? Now I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, and I'll get some comments from other translations that I read. So here we go. Verse 9. So as Jesus was talking about to the disciples, and they asked him how to pray, he says, this is how you should pray. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, does anybody's, some yours may, instead of saying debtors, it may say transgressions? Anybody's translation says transgressions. Anybody else have another translation that uses a different word?
We heard it. We
got
to say it in school.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's that now? Track trespasses. Yeah, some of them trespasses. You know, this particular one says, you know, forgive us our debts. And the actual Greek could be translated, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You could actually translate it that way. So now then, everybody's heard that. Now, the key that we're going to look at now is verse 14. Now, here's Jesus has told this, and of the things he's listed in the Lord's Prayer, look what he says in verse 14. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, this is where this works thing comes in at. And we're going to, towards the end of the class, we're going to look at different ways that we're forgiven by God for different things. And the two words I'm going to use when we'll get to this is judicial forgiveness and relational forgiveness. So just keep that in the back of your mind. So this is not, obviously we know it's not a works based, and we obviously know that nothing we can do physically will get us into heaven, right? Everybody agree with that? Everybody on the same page with it? Now then, I want to back up just a second. Have you ever, you don't have to raise your hand or anything, have you ever been asked by someone for forgiveness and you didn't do it? Have you ever asked anyone to forgive you and they didn't do it? All right. Jesus is very, very clear when he talks about this. All right. And as you look at this, he doubles back in these two phrases after to really bring up the part about forgiveness. All right. Now, let's understand. I would ask, if everybody has got this forgiveness thing understood, right? Everybody understood, right? We understand this, right? Maybe not. Yes, maybe not. But let's not underscore the unnoticed part of this. And the unnoticed part of this is really not the relationship with the person that you're asking forgiveness or you're giving forgiveness to. What's the relationship that we're talking about here? And between you and God. This is the relationship we're talking about here. We're not talking about the forgiveness of your sins when you're saved. Right? Everybody agree with that? Okay. Very important. All right. So let's go on. So Jesus is saying, hey, you got to do the forgiveness things because if you don't do the forgiveness thing, I can't do the forgiveness thing. Right? Again, sounds like a workspace, right? But it's not. Right? So, you know, I can do this or I can do that or I can do this and I can do that. But the whole thing is about getting your heart right with God. And you know, there's a lot of scripture that talks about that when you pray, if your heart's not right, is that an effective prayer? So if you're harboring something, then it's easy to understand or say what I'm trying to talk to you about, Lord, it's not hitting home, right? Exactly. Yeah. It is a sincerity thing. It is. It really is. You know, I'm asking for this, but I don't want to do this. Right. You know, I'm doing this, but you know, as it goes around. All right. So let's go on. So we pray each day. We ask for forgiveness. And so we ask for forgiveness of our sins, and we do sin, by the way. I would agree with that. Jesus is saying that for us to receive forgiveness in our heart, we have to be right with the people. To be right with the people means to be right with God, right? So we're making that circle again. So now Jesus also looked at this, and let's flip back to Matthew 5 real quick and look at Matthew 5:23. Okay. I think that's what I want. 5:23. Sorry, guys. Again, this thing's not doing me well here. 5:23. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, there at the altar, you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Now, that gift not necessarily means a sacrifice. You know, that's the gift is a worship gift. And if you're coming to the church to worship and you want to worship, what Jesus is saying, not going to happen, folks. Not going to be there. Not going to happen. It's not going to go through. You got to be right. All right. Jesus is saying that if you come to worship God and realize you have something with your brother, you got to do it. All right. Now then, let's go on up to same chapter, verse 43. You've heard it said that love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven, because he causes his sun to rise and the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. All right. Let's go on up to another one. Chapter 18, verse 21. So now then, Peter and Jesus is having this little conversation. And here Peter's at his finest. This is true Peter right here. So he's at the best that Peter can do. Chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times I forgive my brother or my sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Now, Peter's got his little notebook, and he's trying to keep, you know, oh, he's done it five times, you know, Felton's done it four, you know, he's, you know, Mike's done it six, you know. Now, where am I at? Where do I stop this at? Well, I stop it at seven. What Jesus tells him, he says, no. So I tell you, not 70 times, but 77 times. Some Bibles say 77 times seven was 490, right? So my translation just says 77 times. So now, Peter got to get a bigger notebook, right? Either way. So Peter's notebook's not doing good. Now watch what he says. He says, you know, hey, Peter, sit down and let me tell you a story about this. I'm going to tell you a story here real quick. All right. So he sets Peter down and he says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began to settle the accounts of a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. We're into the translations there. Does anybody say 10,000 talents? Yeah, but this translation says 10,000 bags of gold. So just to frame out how much Jesus is talking about here, a talent is 6,000 days of earnings, and he's got 10,000 of these talents. Man can't live long enough to pay all this off. So this is an extraordinary amount of money. I mean, I don't know what this guy did, you know, in the story, but it's an extraordinary amount of money for him to owe back to his king. All right. To his, this person that's talking to us. It's in today's money, is billions. Yeah. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all he had be sold to repay the debt. Still couldn't get nowhere near it. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled his debt and let him go. Man, what did the guy do? Now, but when the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, he grabbed him and began to choke him. Like, give me my money. Pay me. Fellow servant fell his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I'll pay you back. No, no. You're going to jail and your family's going to jail. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown in prison to pay the debt. When the other servants saw this, what had happened, they were outraged, went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called him in, you wicked servant. I cancel the debts because you begged me. Shouldn't you have been mercy on your fellow servants I had on you? In anger, his master had him turned over to the jailer to be tortured. Should he pay back all that he owes? Now, verse 35. This is how my heavenly Father would treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. From your heart. Yeah. Now we're back to this forgiveness thing. So we've looped around through several things that Jesus has taught, and we keep coming back to this forgiveness thing. We're circling back to it. We're back on it again. Now then, Jesus is saying, since we've been forgiven so much, we have to forgive those to others, or we cannot experience the joy that it's ours to have. Agreed? If you have that, you're cheating yourself. All right. So now then we're going to look at some points right here. When I go through these points, I want you to pay real close attention to the forgiveness that we're talking about right here. I've already tried to frame that out, but we're going to get really into it right here. So I have several points right here that we're going to run through. All right. So number one, this says we have to forgive other people because we have been forgiven. We're sitting here talking before class started, right? And I think if all of us look back pre-being saved, we got to be happy that the Lord had mercy on us and got us to that point. I'm happy because I had a whole bunch of opportunities for him to take me out of this place. And thank you, he didn't. I have a lot to be thankful for, a lot, right? When we begin to comprehend how much God has forgiven us, we can understand the importance of forgiving others. The whole point to these stories Jesus is talking about, right? That's exactly what every one of these stories and everything that he said circles back to. Now we can talk about debt. We can talk about whatever the gripe that you have in your life right now. I'm gonna call it gripe since like we could use 100 different words. But this situation you have in your life, right now, we can talk about what the level of that is, and I'm sure each one of us can give examples of the effect that it's had on our families, right, or ourselves. But it's nowhere near the forgiveness Jesus gave to us when he saved us. It pales in comparison. Pales in comparison. Would everybody agree with that?
Not even a drop in the bucket.
Not even a drop in the bucket. You're exactly right. So remember, and this is a tough one, guys. This is tough. There's nothing anyone can do that is greater offense than the sins we had against God. That's the ultimate forgiveness, right? So we are to forgive, secondly, just as we've been forgiven. In Ephesians 4:31 and 32, Paul writes this. He said, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Right? Just ponder on that for a minute, all right? Number three, how did God forgive us unconditionally and freely? You ever seen the little Confederate guy holding the Confederate flag? You know, it's got the big hat on, the mustache, and the flag says, forget hell. You ever seen that? So does God say, you know what? I'm going to forgive you sins, but I'm not going to forget them. I'm going to forgive them, but I'm not going to forget them. Does he say that?
No.
Yeah. Some examples of that. We cast our sins into the sea, to the depths of the sea, right? Remember this? Comes out, I think, Malachi. So far as the east from the west, so far as we removed our transgressions. No second points, no buts, no conditions. Number three, forgive so that we may be forgiven. So we're going to double back to this again. So how can God have this condition on us? Is it a condition? Is it a condition for our sin to be forgiven only if we forgive those who sin? Is that a condition? So now then, see, remember what I told you at the beginning about the two different kinds that the Bible talks about of forgiveness of sins. There's two different ones. And I never heard of this before. And the two different sins is a judicial forgiveness and a relational forgiveness. Had y'all ever heard that before? That was a new one on me. It really makes good sense. So let's look at judicial first. So judicial forgiveness happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So what does God say at that point? So everything that's happened from your birth to that point, wipe clean. Come. Now, you could be 8, 10 years old. You could be 16 years old. You could be 60 years old. All gone. And not only is it all gone, but what is future sins? Right? So future sins are forgiven. Did everybody agree with that?
So
you're draw the line right here, everything before it's gone. Slate wipe clean, cast in the sea, far as east from the west, you know, on and on. Okay. Now then. So one of the writers said this. He said when there's a connection. That when Jesus comes in, when you allow Jesus to come in your heart and you accept him as Lord and Savior, there's a connection back to heaven. And that book of life is stamped forgiven. And it may be, in my case, it was pages of stuff to forgive. I'm telling you, it wasn't a couple little notes on a cue card. It was pages to forgive. Done. Right? We're good there? Judicial. So everything is wipe clean. Here's a statement. So I'm going to see your thoughts on this. When you're saved, if you never in your life forgive another person, are you going to heaven? Yes. We're going to get to that. So the fact is that once you're saved, always saved, so judicially those sins are wiped away. So that's that judicial forgiveness that you get when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Done. All right? Now let's look at relational or relationship forgiveness. So 1 John 1:9 says, listen real close to this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's not salvation. Salvation's already happened at that point. All right, did everybody get that one? Let me read that again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. All right.
That was John 1:9.
1 John 1:9. So judicial forgiveness is about the sin, and the relationship forgiveness is about sins. Does that make sense? About sins. So let's go. Let's, you know, David Jeremiah tells a story. This is a funny story. He said that he was 15 years old, and his dad was the chancellor of a Christian college. I can't remember the name of it right now. And he says his mom and dad goes off on this business trip. It's going to be gone like a week. And so his dad had this Buick Electra. And he says, boy, that car looked good. And he said, I thought, well, ain't nothing wrong. We live out in the country. I'm going to take it, baby, for a spin. He said, I'm 15 years old. He said, I take that baby and said, I'm cruising. And I'm faster and I'm faster and I'm faster. And he said, I come up over a hill. And there's this guy with a tractor and a big thing of hay sitting right there. He said, the only place I had to go was a ditch. And said, I tore up one side of that car. He said, the farmer was so good. So he pulled me out of the ditch and says, so the car was driving. So I took it back home. He said, and I sweated bullets for 2 days. And my dad got back. He comes back, he's walking in the house. And he stops. So he looks back and he walks back up. And he looks at the car. And he comes back inside. He says, David, did you do that to the car? He said, yes, sir, I did. Said, Dad, just turn around and walks away. He said, for 3 days, him and his dad didn't speak, not one word. He says, Dad would just look at him like he was looking, like he wasn't even there. He said, he's like, he's just looking through it. Said, he didn't speak to him for 3 days. He said, finally, I had enough of it. He said, I went to his office at the college and I knocked on the door and opened up. He said, Dad, I can't live like this. He said, I can't live with this relationship that we have going on. He said, please forgive me. Said his dad got up, walked over and hugged him. He says, David, you're forgiven, but you're going to pay for the car. you're going to pay for the car. So the question is, and about that story, even when his dad wasn't speaking, was he still his father's son? Yes. When he wasn't speaking, did he have a relationship with his father that was in good standing? No. Did it change when he asked for forgiveness? Yeah. So Jesus reached deep in his bag on this forgiveness front, as I mentioned earlier. He's saying, how can you take my forgiveness and not give it to others? And now, you know, can forgiveness be dealt with if someone does not come and ask you for forgiveness? Yes. 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 And I'll tell you a personal story. As all y'all know, I'm divorced. And I harbored hate or whatever you want to call it, anger, for a long time. And it took me a lot in my heart to let that go. I'll be honest with you, it did. It took a lot for me to let that go. But to let that go was just a burden lifted off of me. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I don't think about it. I don't care about that. That's not important to me. My relationship now, my wife and family is what's important to me. But the person never came to me and I never went to the person, but it's the fact of making that move that made a big difference to me. Oh yeah. Yeah. But it's not important. It's just, it doesn't mean anything to me. Yeah. And I had a good friend of mine talk to me and he said, you know, he says, do you call that person, tell them that you're mad? No. Said, if you sit and stew for 2 or 3 hours, do they know that you stewed for 2 or 3 hours? No. So who's it hurting? He was right. Absolutely. It made a huge difference in my life. So as we close, remember, this is about the condition of your heart. And I fully believe that the better your condition of your heart with God can be, the more you're in line, for the lack of a better word, for his blessings. I truly, truly believe that. Now, not to say that we're all don't sin. That's not what I'm saying. And you know, we pray each day, and I would seriously say that I would bet each one of y'all in your prayers every day ask God to forgive you of your sins. And you should. So if you're asking for that, you know, I think we are indebted to try to get our heart right also. So, you know, Jesus is coming back in 4 days. We're getting closer and closer and closer. Call somebody, text them. Get your heart right. I tell you, this computer.